The Good Earth, Disc 7.
Chapter 21. It wasn't to be supposed that the coming of this one called Lotus and of her serving woman Cuckoo into Wang Lung's house could be accomplished altogether without stir and discord of some sort, since more than one woman under one roof is not for peace. But Wang Lung had not foreseen it. And even though he saw by Olan's sullen looks and Cuckoo's sharpness that something was amiss, he wouldn't pay heed to it, and he was careless of anyone so long as he was still fierce with his desire. Nevertheless, when day passed into night, and night changed into dawn, Wang Lung saw that it was true the sun rose in the morning, and this woman Lotus was there, and the moon rose in its season, and she was there for his hand to grasp when it would, and his thirst of love was somewhat slaked, and he saw things he hadn't seen before. For one thing, he saw that there was trouble at once between Olan and Cuckoo. This was an astonishment to him, for he was prepared for Olan to hate Lotus, having heard many times of such things. And some women will even hang themselves upon a beam with a rope when a man takes a second woman into the house. And others will scold and contrive to make his life worthless for what he has done. And he was glad that Olan was a silent woman, for at least she couldn't think of words against him. But he hadn't foreseen that whereas she would be silent of Lotus, her anger would find its vent against Cuckoo. Now Wang Lung had thought only of Lotus, and when she begged him, "Let me have this woman for my servant, seeing that I am altogether alone in the world, for my father and my mother died when I could not yet talk, and my uncle sold me as soon as I was pretty to a life such as I have had, and I have no one." This she said with her tears, always abundant and ready and glittering in the corners of her pretty eyes. And Wang Lung could have denied her nothing she asked, when she looked up at him so. Besides, it was true enough that the girl had no one to serve her. And it was true she would be alone in his house, for it was plain enough and to be expected that Olan would not serve the second one. And she wouldn't speak to her or notice that she was in the house at all. There was only the uncle of Lotus then, and it was against Wang Lung's stomach to have that one peeping and prying and near to Lotus for her to talk to of him. And so Cuckoo was as good as any, and he knew no other woman who would come. But it seemed that Olan, when she saw Cuckoo, grew angry with a deep and sullen anger that Wang Lung had never seen and didn't know was in her. Cuckoo was willing enough to be friends, since she had her pay from Wang Lung, albeit she didn't forget that in the great house she had been in the Lord's chamber, and Olan a kitchen slave, and one of many. Nevertheless, she called out to Olan well enough when first she saw her, "Well, and my old friend, here we are in a house together again, and you mistress and first wife, my mother, and how things are changed!" But Olan stared at her, and when it came into her understanding who it was and what she was, she answered nothing. But she put down the jar of water she carried, and she went into the middle room where Wang Lung sat between his times of love, and she said to him plainly, "What is this slave woman doing in our house?" Wang Lung looked east and west. He would have liked to speak out, to say in a surly voice of master, "Well, and it is my house, and whoever I say may come in. She shall come in, and who are you to ask?" But he couldn't, because of some shame in him when Olan was there before him. And his shame made him angry, because when he reasoned it, there was no need for shame. And he had done no more than any man may do who has silver to spare. Still he couldn't speak out, and he only looked east and west and feigned to have mislaid his pipe in his garments, and he fumbled in his girdle. But Olan stood there solidly on her big feet and waited. And when he said nothing, she asked again plainly in the same words, "What is this slave woman doing in our house?" Then Wang Lung, seeing she would have an answer, said feebly, "And what is it to you?" And Olan said, "I bore her haughty looks all during my youth in the great house, and her running into the kitchen a score of times a day and crying out, 'Now tea for the Lord, now food for the Lord.' And it was always, 'This is too hot, and that's too cold, and that's badly cooked, and I was too ugly and too slow and too this and too that.'" But still Wang Lung didn't answer, for he didn't know what to say. Then Olan waited, and when he didn't speak, the hot, scanty tears welled slowly into her eyes, and she winked them to hold back the tears. And at last she took the corner of her blue apron and wiped her eyes, and she said at last, "It's a bitter thing in my house, and I have no mother's house to go back to anywhere." And when Wang Lung was still silent and answered nothing at all, but he sat down to his pipe and lit it, and he said nothing still, she looked at him piteously and sadly out of her strange, dumb eyes that were like a beast's eyes that can't speak. And then she went away, creeping and feeling for the door because of her tears that blinded her. Wang Lung watched her as she went, and he was glad to be alone, but still he was ashamed. And he was still angry that he was ashamed, and he said to himself, and he muttered the words aloud and restlessly as though he quarreled with someone, "Well, and other men are so, and I have been good enough to her, and there are men worse than I." And he said at last that Olan must bear it. But Olan was not finished with it, and she went her way silently. In the morning she heated water and presented it to the old man, and to Wang Lung, if he were not in the inner court, she presented tea. But when Cuckoo went to find hot water for her mistress, the cauldron was empty, and not all her loud questionings would stir any response from Olan. Then there was nothing but that Cuckoo must herself boil water for her mistress if she would have it. But then it was time to stir the morning gruel, and there was not space in the cauldron for more water, and Olan would go steadily to her cooking, answering nothing to Cuckoo's loud crying. "And is my delicate lady to lie thirsting and gasping in her bed for a swallow of water in the morning?" But Olan wouldn't hear her. Only she pushed more grass and straw into the bowels of the oven, spreading it as carefully and as thriftily as ever she had in the old days, when one leaf was precious enough because of the fire it would make under food. Then Cuckoo went complaining loudly to Wang Lung, and he was angry that his love must be marred by such things, and he went to Olan to reproach her, and he shouted at her, "And can't you add a dipperful of water to the cauldron in the mornings?" But she answered with a sullenness deeper than ever upon her face, "I am not slave of slaves in this house, at least." Then he was angry beyond bearing, and he seized Olan's shoulder, and he shook her soundly, and he said, "Don't be yet more of a fool. It's not for the servant, but for the mistress." And she bore his violence, and she looked at him, and she said simply, "And to that one you gave my two pearls." Then his hand dropped, and he was speechless. And his anger was gone, and he went away ashamed. And he said to Cuckoo, "We will build another stove, and I will make another kitchen. The first wife knows nothing of the delicacies which the other one needs for her flower-like body, and which you also enjoy. You shall cook what you please in it." And so he bade the laborers build a little room, and an earthen stove in it, and he bought a good cauldron. And Cuckoo was pleased because he said, "You shall cook what you please in it." As for Wang Lung, he said to himself that at last his affairs were settled, and his women at peace, and he could enjoy his love. And it seemed to him freshly that he could never tire of Lotus, and of the way she pouted at him with the lids drooped like lily petals over her great eyes, and at the way laughter gleamed out of her eyes when she glanced up at him. But after all, This matter of the new kitchen became a thorn in his body, for Koku went to the town every day, and she bought this and that of expensive foods that are imported from the southern cities. There were foods he had never even heard of, lychee nuts, and dried honey dates, and curious cakes of rice flour, and nuts and red sugar, and horned fish from the sea, and many other things. And these all cost money, more than he liked to give out. But still not so much, he was sure, as Koku told him. And yet he was afraid to say, "You are eating my flesh," for fear she would be offended and angry at him, and it would displease Lotus. And so there was nothing he could do except to put his hand unwillingly to his girdle. And this was a thorn to him day after day, and because there was none to whom he could complain of it, the thorn pierced more deeply continually. And it cooled a little of the fire of love in him for Lotus. And there was yet another small thorn that sprang from the first, and it was that his uncle's wife, who loved good food, went often into the inner court at mealtimes, and she grew free there. And Wang Lung was not pleased that out of his house Lotus chose this woman for friend. The three women ate well in the inner courts, and they talked unceasingly, whispering and laughing. And there was something that Lotus liked in the wife of his uncle, and the three were happy together. And this Wang Lung didn't like. But still there was nothing to be done. For when he said gently, and to coax her, "Now, Lotus, my flower, and don't waste your sweetness on an old fat hag like that one. I need it for my own heart, and she is a deceitful and untrustworthy creature, and I don't like it that she is near you from dawn to sunset." Lotus was fretful, and she answered peevishly, pouting her lips and hanging her head away from him, "Now, and I have no one except you, and I have no friends, and I am used to a merry house. And in yours there is no one except the first wife, who hates me, and these children of yours, who are a plague to me, and I have no one." Then she used her weapons against him, and she wouldn't let him into her room that night. And she complained and said, "You don't love me, for if you did, you would wish me to be happy." Then Wang Lung was humbled and anxious, and he was submissive, and he was sorry, and he said, "Let it be only as you wish, and forever." Then she forgave him royally, and he was afraid to rebuke her in any way for what she wished to do. And after that, when he came to her, Lotus, if she were talking or drinking tea or eating some sweetmeat with his uncle's wife, would bid him wait, and was careless with him. And he strode away, angry that she was unwilling for him to come in when this other woman sat there. And his love cooled a little, although he didn't know it himself. He was angry, moreover, that his uncle's wife ate of the rich foods that he had to buy for Lotus, and that she grew fat and more oily than she had been. But he could say nothing, for his uncle's wife was clever, and she was courteous to him, and flattered him with good words, and rose when he came into the room. And so his love for Lotus was not whole and perfect as it had been before, absorbing utterly his mind and his body. It was pierced through and through with small angers which were the more sharp because they must be endured, and because he could no longer go even to Olan freely for speech, seeing that now their life was sundered.